This is On Target St. John's. A look at politics, crime, education. What's happening here with the people who know? The views and opinions expressed on this program are not necessarily those of this station. Now, your On Target St. John's host, Linda Swain.
Good afternoon, everyone. Linda Swain back with you. Just came off Open Line, now back into On Target and loving every minute of it. As you know, it's a bitterly cold day out there today, and Snowmageddon is not far from our memories, our collective memories. It had a bigger impact on some than others, and here to talk a little bit about that with me today are members of the St. John's Board of Trade. We have new chair Andrew Wadden. Hello.
Hello, how are you?
Great. We have the acting CEO, Rhonda Tulk-Lane, who helped in coordinating this for me. Thank you. Hello.
Hello, Linda.
And we have business owner, Carol Bartlett. Hello.
Hello. Pleasure to be here.
And pleasure to have you all in. So, Snowmageddon, of course, we've heard and seen all the pictures and the videos, and everybody had a great time, but businesses took a hit. And it was a fairly significant one. And I'll ask you this right off the top, Andrew, as the new chair of the St. John's Board of Trade, what was the impact of Snowmageddon and the subsequent state of emergency?
Well, impact number one, of course, is that the staff of the Board of Trade got very busy that week. Aside from all the calls that came in, there was, I think, 750 calls made, if you can believe that. Pretty much to every member by our staff. So our staff are very busy working for the membership. What we were hearing during those conversations overall, Linda, was concern, worry. And I think it could be articulated best by a member and a friend who called me during that week and said, you know, 3-4 days in, he said, Andrew, commerce needs to continue. What can be done here? And it's a great way to put it because people were getting worried. Now, some businesses, of course, could continue. There are people who work remotely. You know, there are people who can work from their laptops at home, work from the phone, even if they can't get to the office. But when it comes to a lot of retail operations, and you hear us speak quite often about restaurants and bars, but there's others aside from that, of course. I had conversations with a furniture shop owner who couldn't get into work, couldn't sell anything during that week, obviously, had staff who were paid on commission. They weren't getting any money that week. So overall, we were hearing concern and worry, and what does it take to get back into work?
So that was an awful long time, 8 days in St. John's, fewer days in some other areas of this area. Do we have any facts and figures, any numbers, Rhonda, about the kind of impact that this has had on the economy in this area?
As Andrew mentioned, we immediately, our first week back, we actually called every one of our members to check in. And so what we've got are more stories and anecdotal things from us. And what we were finding is that first week back, we had two questions we asked them. Right now, what is the pain point? And do you have a plan for recovery? And what we were hearing when we were speaking to our members is they were really just, well, anxious to get back, get open, get things cleared, get the walkway cleared, and they didn't really have a plan for recovery. And that's where we then focused our next plan on, well, how are we going to help our small businesses through this? Because we knew the impacts were really yet to come.
So it was an eye-opener, Andrew, for a lot of businesses, I imagine.
It was an eye-opener and a big scare because, as I mentioned, January is a tight month for almost any business, especially in the retail world. And it was an eye-opener in the sense that maybe most businesses, this was unexpected. With the exception of having known a couple of days ahead that we were going to get some significant weather, nobody was fully prepared for this to happen. So the lesson learned, I suspect, for a lot of businesses is to make sure they are prepared. They are as prepared as can be. And our lesson learned and what we are currently doing is making sure we help them make sure they are as prepared as possibly can be and working with them as well in terms of recovery for what went on during that week.
Well, as you indicated, we all knew a big storm was coming. We all were preparing in whatever way we could. I happened to bring in a little bag with me when I came in for my shift that day, knowing I might spend the night. Wasn't prepared for 3 nights, or 3 days, I should say, 2 nights. But we made the most of it. Most businesses, Carol, 8 days, nobody would have anticipated they'd be out of business for 8 days.
I think you're absolutely right. No one would have anticipated that business interruption. And I think even for people that are across the island that could be listening, or people in the surrounding area, it wasn't just St. John's, but anyone could have a business interruption at any amount of time. And that's what we need to be prepared for, ultimately. So in St. John's, we took a big hit. And also with the businesses, it was a wide spectrum of the people that got hit. So some people could have benefited from the storm itself. I know that there's a lot of snow operators that made a lot of money during that week. And then there was people that, especially on the consumables, and Andrew said, if you were in retail and that consumables, we didn't go back to consume. During, you can't drink more coffee the next week and double up. So,
well, indeed, you're not going to start eating more hamburgers or, you know, whatever the case may be, buy more furniture.
No.
Just because there were 8 days when you couldn't do that. Mm-hmm. So what are you looking at when it comes to a plan, Rhonda, for businesses in these kinds of circumstances? Hopefully we never see anything like this again, mm-hmm. but it's entirely possible.
Yeah, so I just want to jump back. So I was able to double up on the coffee, actually, when I got back. I think many people may have doubled up on their caffeine intake. But Linda, one of the things before we moved into rolling out our plan, what we found during that week was the role that the Board of Trade was able to play was to be that link, that conduit to the city. Instead of having 250, 300 people trying to call the city to figure out things, we were able to kind of mediate and move, and that worked out really well. So we were able to work closely with city officials and make the calls. For example, everyone was kind of learning as we go. So communication, as we learned, is so critical during these times. So for example, we were able to help over a dozen or so of our members that needed to receive approvals during that time. For example, one of our members has had to get disinfectant to the health science. So even though they weren't given approval because of our state of emergency plans and things have changed so much over 30 years, we were able to make these calls and get the approvals quite fast. But the other important lesson learned was that the face of business has changed, the new 21st century business. So as I remember the mayor saying, at one time the pharmacy, it was a pharmacy that delivered your drugs, and now every single food operation or store has a pharmacy in it. So the face of business has changed, and that was one of the great examples. Was we had one of our members that delivers healthcare online. So even though they're not predominantly a healthcare, they're an IT. So they needed to have approvals to get out and get their staff in because they were fielding calls through the online healthcare number, which skyrocketed given that people couldn't get out and move about, so the number of calls were coming in. So that was a big lesson learned when we're redoing this state of emergency plan, is that the face of business has changed, and what does that look like? So that was a key learning, I think, for us, and I know the city as well.
Well, mm-hmm. indeed, because the legislation, and the mayor outlined that as well. He was quite clear. He said this legislation, the City of St. John's Act, which is provincial legislation, when it came to a state of emergency, was really quite out of date, and it didn't, I guess, dawn on people until we were in that circumstance that how much things have changed, as you just indicated, Rhonda. So is that something that the St. John's Board of Trade will hopefully have some kind of input on when it comes to updating the legislation, Andrew?
Linda, one great thing I must say about the city, and having been involved with the Board of Trade now for a number of years, and at this point now a chair, is that I've had a lot of opportunity to sit down and work with city officials, namely the mayor and namely the city manager. And what I've always found is that they do as much listening as they do talking. And they have always been open to the board in terms of having conversations about anything. And whenever we want to offer input on an issue, whether it's city taxes or vacancy allowances or now perhaps this legislation in relation to statements of emergency or what operations that might entail, I know they'll be open to it. They always have been. And they said, that was never more obvious than during the state of emergency in itself, when I know Rhonda would tell you they were extremely responsive to us. The staff of the Board of Trade had to make a lot of calls to the city, work with them in tandem with regard to things such as, like Rhonda mentioned, deliveries to supermarkets. If supermarkets are going to open, well, they need the supplies from the suppliers. And they were very responsive to us in that regard anytime we called. And I, in my view, I think they did the best job they possibly could. They're still dealing with the aftermath of it, and I have no doubt that if they want to work with us and need our help in terms of any updates to statement of emergency procedures, I know they will.
Andrew Wadden, the new chair of the St. John's Board of Trade, acting CEO Rhonda Tulk-Lane, and local business person Carol Bartlett, my in-studio guest this afternoon. We're talking the state of emergency in Snowmageddon, among other things. We'll be back right after this.
Now back to Linda Swain on Target St. John's on VOCM.
And we're back. Our guests this afternoon, three members of the St. John's Board of Trade. We have the new chair, Andrew Wadden, the acting CEO, Rhonda Tulk-Lane, and a businesswoman, Carol Bartlett. And Carol, I'm going to bring you into the conversation now by popular demand. Will it take some time to know the real impact of the state of emergency?
Absolutely. There's two areas of when we impact or have impact in a business interruption, especially when it comes to the state of emergency. The first one is when the storm actually hit. So when there was closure and then businesses couldn't physically sell. Well, they also couldn't generate business as well, so lead time, so they couldn't deliver on their prior commitments, so we were all shut down. But what happens when you have a natural disaster like that is there's a contraction of buying power, and that doesn't come out until much later. So we're kind of getting into that now. So what happened was we shut down during the storm. Then businesses, you know, felt that they kind of wanted to get back to work and get back to normal and just get to it. And what they were finding is that they contracted. And it could have been ever so slightly, but they're feeling that that lack of buying power. And some of that is the void of businesses who, you know, there wasn't that transfer of money coming through during that time. So the businesses who had been gung-ho coming into 2020 might have said, well, we'll just wait and see what comes out of this. So we'll hold on to our strategic plan of 2020, and we won't pursue those bigger things or the high-risk things. We'll just wait and see what happens. And that makes a contraction in the economy. So we're just getting into that to feel that. And I'm sure there's some business owners that are out there that have felt that already, and they're feeling it in their bank accounts.
Was the impact different for different types of business?
Absolutely. I run a sales management firm, so I go into companies and help them develop their sales strategy. And so what I'm hearing from my clients and other businesses that I've talked to is some are booming from it, the slip and falls. They're definitely coming along. I don't know if you have any friends, but I certainly have friends that are hobbling around on crutches. So people who are in the industry of taking advantage of this, in, you know, in a good way, they're helping out people who have
physiotherapists, those kind of
exactly,
things.
Exactly. But then on the other spectrum is the people, say businesses or bar owners, or anybody with that consumable part where they were remain closed and they have that storefront, were absolutely devastated during that time. And it was really the worst month of doing it. And we were headed into a month that we had thought it was going to be a renewed season, and we were all looking forward to that, you know, coming back of the economy. And we've come through about 18 months of a suppressed economy. So it's unfortunate of the timing of when it happened.
And it remains a tough winter. It's still difficult for some people to get out and around, or they might be considering, do I need to get out today to get these things? I'll just hold off for another week or so. Are you finding that kind of thing, Andrew, out there? Is that what some of your members are telling you?
We're hearing that mostly from our members that are involved in the retail industry. You know, Carol spoke to this point quite well. It impacts different businesses differently. So, you know, I'm fortunate to be a partner in a law firm. I can work remotely if I have to. I'll cancel appointments, but those folks can probably come in the next week. That doesn't stop my business from running. The same applies for accounting firms and things of that nature. But if you're in the retail industry, if you're in the service industry, if you own business in the service industry, it's tremendously difficult for you because you've been shut down that week. And the weeks after that, as Carol mentioned, folks aren't dying to go out and spend a lot of money in the restaurants and bars then now. But there has been some relief with, you know, the Support Local campaign that the Board of Trade has started. And I should say, in fairness to many other organizations out there, we are not the only ones to have done that. There really seems to have been a strong grassroots campaign in that regard. Everybody, you know, just all about social media. Let's get out. Let's support local. Not just, and the Board of Trade played a big part in that, but we're not the only ones. And what I saw, and I think what a lot of businesses have seen, the ones in the service industry, the one in the retail industry, is that support. I think they're really feeling that support, and the sense I get from our members when we speak to them is that they're quite thankful for that. So recovery is happening.
And are people shopping local, Rhonda? Are people, you know, making good on their promise?
Yeah, as Andrew said, when we reached out and there were others, every association, every business group said, no problem, absolutely, count us in. And we heard immediately, actually the first Saturday when things opened, our members were feeling the love. Downtown retail shops, restaurants, and what our job is now is how do we keep that going? And I think we've got a great initiative coming up with the Burger Brew and Burger Fest. So we're going to jump right on that and kind of couple that with the support small business campaign. And we're going to keep this going over the winter months. But it was no different as when the storm happened and we were seeing these good news stories come from individuals and people out on the street and meeting neighbors that they hadn't met before, imagine for decades. The business community was also doing the same thing and coming together, and it was it's reflecting.
Well, there was really a sense of we're all in this together. Is that true of the business community as well, Carol?
I think so. I think there's a lot of businesses that suffered and perhaps some that didn't, as I mentioned, the scale. But I think some businesses are giving others a little bit of a break in maybe not having them pay on time. So I think there's some of that, especially when it's difficult in getting cash flow through, mm-hmm. right? So if you can imagine it, that was a full week out of a four-week cycle where there was no income coming in and you're still having to pay cash, like still having to pay out your mm-hmm. overhead cash flow. All that is going to be affected in a time like this. So just having that patience and encouraging one another to get out there and get more business, I think that's the important thing.
I noticed some banks are coming on stream when it comes to that sort of thing, too, advocating that, you know, if you need to, you can defer that mortgage payment. If you need help getting this, we can get it for you and cut down some of those barriers that are there, you know, understanding and acknowledging that, you know, this is a difficult time.
Rhonda's been very proactive in talking to the banks and lobbying for businesses, and the businesses are thankful for that.
During that week, we immediately reached out to all of the major banks or members of ours, and they had said, we've already got things in place. If our staff haven't already reached out to their clients, they're about to, and tell your members to give us a call. We're waiting, and it was going to be done on a case-by-case base, which was really helpful to hear. As well, something just jumped out at me that I want to send a reminder out. We were successful in having CRA give the HST remittance, but we've learned something new over the last little while, and I'll call it an alert, that if you did avail of that remittance, mm-hmm. you need to make a call so you do not get charged the interest.
Ooh.
So very important. While you've got we had the extension, you have to call so you do not have interest. And we've just learned that. So that is critical, that businesses make that call if you were affected by the state of emergency.
And that's what makes the St. John's Board of Trade so important, because, you know, without passing that message along to all your members, you know, there's a lot of people might get nailed at a time where they really don't need to be nailed.
We've had several members call this week with the learnings, and yeah. we're sharing that far and wide with everyone.
And to the credit of CRA, I can't believe I'm going to give CRA a plug here, Linda. They've actually been quite understanding and quite agreeable in that regard. When the members call them and say, listen, we had till February 10th to submit our HST remittance. Please don't forget, can you make sure I'm not charged interest? They've been real good about that, so we're thankful for that as well.
What about the compensation that's been talked about, both for employees and for employers? If you're going to be helping out the employees, are employers saying, well, you know, we're part of that equation as well? Has there been any further talk about any kind of help or compensation for people affected by the state of emergency, Rhonda?
We're continuously checking in weekly with the federal government. So we immediately sent a letter to the Prime Minister, along with other ministers that needed to be copied on that letter, and we haven't received anything back yet, but we're checking weekly. And I think we haven't heard anything. I know the Premier at the time was asking for relief for employees, and I haven't heard anything on that. So we're continuously checking in.
My guests this afternoon, new chair Andrew Wadden of the St. John's Board of Trade, acting CEO Rhonda Tulk-Lane, and local businesswoman Carol Bartlett. We're talking state of emergency in the city of St. John's and the impact of Snowmageddon. We'll be back right after this.
Now back to Linda Swain on Target St. John's on VOCM.
And good afternoon. Our in-studio guest this afternoon, a new chair of the St. John's Board of Trade, Andrew Wadden, acting CEO Rhonda Tulk-Lane, and local business owner Carol Bartlett. And we're talking about the state of emergency in Snowmageddon. We're not going to be stuck entirely on that, but there is a lot to talk about. And now that we've had a little bit of a little over a month, it's hard to believe it was that long ago now, to think about it and dissect it. Andrew, is there anything the capital city could have done differently?
Well, it's an interesting question. I know that since the big storm has ended, we've been steadily collecting a lot of information from our membership in terms of their views of what they think could have been done differently, what they feel was done well, what they think perhaps could have been done better. So we're still collecting it. I don't have the answer as to what our membership feels in terms of what they want to see change for next time around. You know, the only thing I would say, and it's less a criticism and more a suggestion, is that you know, we live in an age, as you know, of social media. I heard you talking to Ryan Cleary the other day about does social media deter people from becoming involved in politics? And, you know, if I was the mayor that week, if anything, social media would make it awfully difficult for me to do my job. He was so responsive, which amazed me. You know, him and his team obviously had to spend some time responding to a lot of the comments and criticisms and requests for information via social media, and it looked like they did it. And the only thing I would say is you don't have to spend as much time on that. You don't have to deal with everybody who throws a stone. Just worry about doing your job. That said, I thought he did a great job. And I'll say as well, a couple of weeks ago, as Rhonda knows, we had our Board of Trade Outlook Conference. And he attended and gave a presentation for about an hour on behalf of the city and council and, you know, brought the business community, everyone who was there in that room, up to date as to what the city had done and what was going on and that they fully intend to make improvements to emergency measures when this comes around again.
Rhonda, Andrew touched on this before. He said the city was very responsive and there was good communication between the Board of Trade and the city. Mm-hmm. Did you find that? Was that your experience? You were probably on the phone with them.
We were.
24/7.
We were with myself and our team and city staff. I'd say, we touched bases no less than 10 to 12 times a day, mostly on emails when we'd get the call from our member. And then we'd hear back from the city as fast as they could assess what we were asking and give us the nod to go ahead or no. And we were very, very pleased with how we were working. As we said, for us to be able to play that role so the city wasn't seeing 200 calls from businesses trying to figure out how to navigate the system. Mm-hmm. We were able to take that barrier down and navigate that for them. So it worked out really well.
Moving forward now, would you like to see a more coordinated approach when it comes to these kinds of events if there's a state of emergency called? Because right now, with the legislation that we have, each municipality was sort of working on its own needs and concerns. But should there be a more regional approach given the realities of the area, Andrew?
I think businesses in St. John's and Mount Pearl and CVS and Paradise would all very much appreciate a coordinated approach. Now, I think there was some coordination to an extent. Obviously, the leaders in each area were certainly talking to each other. The timing of things they did in terms of releasing states of emergency, things of that nature, weren't exactly in sync. And there seemed to be a lot of confusion in the public as to whether if you work in one municipality, can you drive to the other? But I think that's probably an easy fix, and I suspect those leaders are going to get together and fix that problem for next time around. Hopefully there is no next time around. We know there will be. Hopefully it's quite a ways off. But yes, more coordination I think would be helpful to businesses that operate in various municipalities.
And Rhonda, you're working now on gathering that feedback from members about how this impacted them and what can be done?
Yes, we're collecting the feedback. We've put out a call to our members, and we'll continue to do that. We've asked for feedback on both the municipal, provincial, and federal. So we'll be sharing that with each level of government on how to improve the entire state of emergency plan and things that can work well for business.
So what are you doing now to help businesses recover? Because as Carol indicated, this is a tough time. It's a tough time of year. The full impacts are not fully understood or appreciated. And as you indicated, Carol, there is a contraction. So what are you doing to help businesses recover?
So there are a number of things, and before I throw it over to Carol on our exciting mini recovery workshops that we're going to be rolling out very soon, there's things that we do each and every day that help our members. So we've got 750 members, and when we talked about the ones that were most impacted, we look at retail and restaurants. We've got 121 members are in the, the food and beverage. So we've got quite a substantial amount of members that were impacted when you shut down for 8 days. So some of the things that we do regularly in providing value to our members, it's our Grow with Google series. So right now they need to figure out how do they find new customers and how do they reach them and how do they do it in the most cost-effective way. So we've got our free Grow with Google series that we're going to be rolling out, and we do that all throughout the year. So that's something I encourage our members to go to our website, look at our events calendar. We teach them, if they're not already online, how do you get online? And this is for anyone in the organization that wants to come out. It's a safe place. You come and we do a hands-on workshop. So you're actually doing while you're learning. So we don't tell you what to do and expect you when you go back in the shop to figure it out, because that won't happen. So the Grow with Google series is something we always do. And now I'd like for Carol to tell us a little bit about the new workshops that we're rolling out.
Yeah, what are these mini recovery workshops? What's that all about?
Absolutely. So the Board of Trade has done a very good job of helping businesses along in this, and they're putting off two mini recovery series. Myself and Chris Burvey will be leading these. And so the first module is really helping the growth engine. And that's what we're all looking for, is in a time like this, it's easy to get caught up in the negative energy, but companies will thrive in these constraints, and the constraints can be used to your advantage with the right vision, drive, and system. So in this seminar, we'll be sharing a system that you can leverage to make your next quantum leap. So that's the first one. The second one is really adding fuel to that engine. So the fuel to your business is real live people who have problems, and companies are made up of people, and you're providing those solutions to those people. The common issue is that those people don't know that you exist, and that's a problem that we all face. So we have the solution. In the seminar, we will share with you a system for bridging that gap between the unknown identity of your business and to awareness, and it's prospecting with results. So that's really where we're going here, is helping you fuel that engine and getting back that revenue that you've lost over this time. And it's for anyone, even if you didn't suffer the impact during that time.
There's so much risk involved in running business, but you do have some control, and the more you know, the better equipped you are, I would imagine.
Absolutely. If you can make this, or stack the cards in your own favor, and some of the clients that come to me say, I want more clients. And really, it's about changing that question to, how successful do I want to be today? So if you have a system and you know what you have to do today to gain those clients, then it's just a matter of activating it and deciding how successful you want to be to today. And so that's what we do.
Do enough businesses have an appropriate business plan, Rhonda?
It's a really good question. So when we look at our membership, we know the well over half are what we call small, and I mean small, less than 10 employees. And these companies, they don't have the luxury of having a business development officer. Some companies have that, so you have someone generating leads. But in the small businesses that we're helping, they need the supports to help them navigate the way, to share the plan, because that business owner is in the business pretty much doing everything they can do. They are the person answering the phone, taking the calls, developing the leads. So they're the ones that we're focused on helping.
Absolutely, because when you're doing all of that, you don't have a whole lot of time to be thinking ahead.
No, and what you don't know is you didn't see that latest news release that just came out with an incentive or a wage subsidy, because there's lots of opportunities out there. There's lots of rooms to grow. But if, as Carol said, if you don't know it's out there, or someone doesn't deliver it to you and knock on your door, then you don't know.
So a lot of time spent on helping businesses navigate the system and find out what the latest incentives are?
Yeah, just a little over a year ago, or a year and a half ago, we changed our model, and that we are your go-to place for business. So we're really holding the hand of our members and really helping them find the resources that they need to be successful.
So you have a lot of homework to do, too.
Yeah, we do.
It's a lot of value added to the membership.
It is, and that's really what we need to be providing, is value. So when you sign up, you're seeing immediate benefits and getting value out of the membership that you paid.
Any unforeseen benefits that stemmed from all of that? I know, you know, the national media was completely enamored of it, of us. I had people in France contacting me and saying, hey, you guys look like you're having a great time. Can I come down? Is there any benefits that we're seeing, or might it take some time, Andrew, to see the benefits?
Well, I think one of the immediate benefits you're seeing is people, including business owners, including organizations like the Board of Trade and otherwise, really standing up and taking notice that we have to be fully prepared for things like this. And now we have people like Carol coming in, a valued member who's offering value to our members in tandem with us. So people are more, I think, interested in working within their business now. Not that they weren't interested before, but now they're saying, wow, I really need to pay attention to this every day, because if another emergency comes next week, I want to be ready for it. So I think it put people on alert, and I think that's a good thing.
It's so hard to know the unforeseen, though, isn't it, Carol? I mean, you know, you can prepare for the possibility of a hurricane. We see those from time to time, or a strong windstorm or something like that, or even a dark NL. You can anticipate those kinds of things, but nobody really can wrap their heads around this thing. So is there a plan that you can put in place that would fit all circumstances?
I think it would be nice if we all had a rainy day fund that we could just fall back on and
on a personal level as well.
Isn't that right? And then there's businesses out there that are just like, you know, I don't have that rainy day fund. I'm growing the business and I'm using everything to reinvest in it. So they don't have that to fall back on. So yeah, I think the number one and the canned answer would be, you know, have a rainy day fund. But I think in reality, what we really need to do is just to be proactive with what we're faced with. So what is in the environment today? This was a disaster. I think we should treat it as one, you know, so being proactive, going after and creating opportunities for our business, being more proactive in getting more clients or being more out there. Like, now is the time to really generate and rev up that engine that you need to go forward to gain that revenue back.
Tourism and accommodations might benefit somewhere down the road, but any other businesses that could benefit from what the world saw? I mean, we had a lot of free publicity for this capital city area.
I think businesses that are certainly some of my clients that were home really took advantage of this and were on social media, so they were engaged in the community. And to Rhonda's point about that hospitality, they were trying to get out there and, you know, both give feedback to the community and that support, but also to bring awareness to themselves. So when you're home on the couch, and that's the safest place to be, social media was that outlet, and people gravitated towards it. And so I think if that was something that you could have done, I think the benefit will come from that in the end.
We talk about, you know, the problems that social media creates, but it really helped connect all of us, didn't it?
Mm-hmm.
My in-studio guest this afternoon, new chair of the St. John's Board of Trade, Andrew Wadden, acting CEO Rhonda Tulk-Lane, and businesswoman Carol Bartlett, who is playing a big role in their strategy going forward. My next question to you, and we'll go to break first, but I'll give you some time to think about it. The province's minimum wage increases were announced today, and I know that's of great concern to the local business community. We'll talk about that right after this.
Now back to Linda Swain on Target St. John's on VOCM.
And we're back. Our in-studio guests today from the St. John's Board of Trade, new chair Andrew Wadden, and we're sort of really kind of introducing you to the public today, aren't we?
We should bring your camera in.
Way. Yeah.
Maybe we should say congratulations.
Thanks.
Acting CEO Rhonda Tulk-Lane and local business owner Carol Bartlett. And she's playing an increasing role, I guess, in the coming days, especially in light of all of this. So your input is phenomenal here. Absolutely. Well, today the provincial government, and this has been long anticipated, announced its increases to minimum wage. Now, for some, it's a great disappointment. There is a marked movement afoot to introduce a $15 an hour minimum wage in Newfoundland and Labrador. The provincial government going in a different direction. There's going to be a series of increases, I guess, that will take us to approximately $12.65 by October of 2021. And Andrew, I'll ask you off the top, what do you think of the approach?
Well, first off, I should say we're waiting on member feedback on this. Obviously, we had lots of feedback from members in terms of what they wanted. The announcement having been only this morning, we're waiting now on feedback in terms of what they think of what has happened. But barring receiving that, we have some concern over the approach. It should be clear that the Board of Trade never had any issue with the idea that there should be an increase to minimum wage. Obviously, there should be here and all across the country. Our view has always been that it should be tied to the CPI. It should be tied to inflation. And that was our understanding of what the way government wanted to do things. It seems they've taken what I would call a mixed approach here. So, you know, we're content with the fact that the raise to the minimum wage appears to be spread over a period of time. So there's not a massive sudden impact. There is some predictability inserted in there. We have some concern over the fact that it's tied not only to CBI, but there also seem to be, I'm not quite sure where the other numbers are coming from. There are numbers being added into the minimum wage amounts in addition to CPI. My hope is that by the time October 2021 comes and we're up to 1265, and actually it'll probably be a little higher than that, probably be closer to 13 because the increase in April 2021 will include a couple of factors, including CPI. So we'll probably be closer to $13 the end of 2021. My hope is that employers, businesses, our membership will have had time to prepare to implement that number within their own business. I don't know yet how difficult it's going to be for them. We haven't heard. Some of them, it will obviously be much more difficult than others. Depends on the number of staff they have, number of the hours those staff work. Our hope is that they won't have to make any reductions when it comes to hours or goods and services or staff as a result. We'll see, I suppose.
What were some of the main concerns that were raised through this process, Rhonda, when you heard from members?
Well, as Andrew said, we're waiting to hear back, but we spoke to a couple of members, and so one of the concerns is what we've just spent the last little while talking about. We've just gotten through a state of emergency, so we have some small businesses that have just now got their head above water, and now within the next month, well, April 1, there's the 25-cent increase. So right now, this morning, that individual, that business owner, was just trying to make sure that how are they going to make payroll when we've been through a hell of a January with the state of emergency. So it's the impact that you've heard people say that. Getting cut so many times, how much can you take? So this is
death by 1,000 cuts.
Thank you.
Yeah.
That was exactly what I was looking for. By 1,000 cuts. So they just got their head up, and now this. So that's what they were trying to figure out this morning. Need to keep payroll the same. How are we going to do it? Because minimum wage affects everybody. So again, this morning they were saying they have some staff that are on part-time staff on minimum wage, and then they have some staff that are just above minimum wage, but the people just above as well expect that increase now too, because they have a little more responsibility, and there's a reason why they were getting above minimum wage. So it actually affects everybody, not just the minimum wage earner. So these are some of the things and thoughts going through the small business owner their heads this morning on how they do that. As we said, having the certainty and predictability is good. Business needs that so they can prepare and get ready for this. But linking it, we had urged government over the last year to continue to keep it linked to CPI. So we believe that is the best model to use.
Carol, what is the impact if minimum wage were to have gone to 15? Would that have had a big impact on businesses, your business or other businesses?
It would have had a huge impact on businesses at $15. I applaud the government for the approach that they took, the stepped approach, and the amount that they settled on. The problem is a complicated twofold situation where small businesses can't absorb that type of increase. They're looking at their cash flow and they're looking at their payroll. And some of them may not be able to make payroll. And that's not good for somebody who is on minimum wage if they're not getting paid. So you have to look at that aspect. But then also the prices are increasing. So on the other side, we do want people that are in the labor force and getting paid minimum wage to be able to keep up. You know, they're working and they want to see something for their labor as well.
Where do those costs, how do they get absorbed or how do they get distributed? If, for instance, you went to a $15 an hour minimum wage, how would a business proceed?
It takes time and it's a cycle, but as Andrew and Rhonda pointed out, that has to be absorbed somewhere. So then cost is incurred to everyone, and everybody is affected by the price of minimum wage. It's just not the person making it.
We've been talking about a lot about energy costs, and I noticed Bob Hallett mentioned his bill has gone up. Are those big concerns as well, Rhonda, you know, when it comes to the cost of heat and light?
And we've been, Linda, we've been really proactive with that. About 2 years ago, we implemented Climate Smart. So we actually have a product for our members where we know things are going up. How do we have cost-saving measures? How do we get lean? And what are the different solutions? So we've had a number of members that are now Climate Smart certified. And it's a great program. And that's how we're able to look at that. And we have a great tool on our website where you can actually look at the energies and emissions and what sectors use the most energy. And again, when we look at that, we're looking at it, it's the food and beverage and retail. Yeah. So these are the small members that really we're trying to help, but they're getting it from a lot of different angles when you think about that. Energy, heat and light, the minimum wage, they're ones that seem to be the target. So that's where we're focusing our time and energy on helping them.
So are those the main pressures, or what other pressures are people facing, are business people facing?
Well, I think right now the minimum wage was the biggest concern we've been hearing about from our membership. Since the SOE happened, this is what we've been getting calls on, and especially since the SOE, because it became an even bigger issue at that point. And again, we're waiting to hear from our business members as to how they feel they're being impacted by this minimum wage that will ultimately hit up to $13. But, you know, I just want our business members to know, and I want government to know as well, that even though our reaction to this is sort of mixed, you know, we spent a lot of time working with and speaking to Minister Mitchell Moore's department. They were great at listening to us and speaking to us and took our feedback. And we hope they understand that we're perfectly willing to continue that dialogue with them and look at other possible solutions to helping low-wage earners, which will in turn help employers and businesses, such as training for workers, and perhaps they can enter into different positions then. The main thing, folks, for the Board of Trade, you know, we've heard all sides of this issue from different parties, and it's just important to us that everybody remain focused on attacking the issues, attacking people's positions on the issues, but let's make sure that we don't attack each other or the people speaking about those positions and issues.
And Rhonda, you made a good point earlier in the week when I was speaking to you when the Board of Trade put out its release. You said this doesn't have to be us and them or right and wrong or anything like that. You were talking about balance.
Yeah, we were really talking about a mindset of both and. Because we believe you can't have the employees without the employer. So it's both and. Yeah. And how do we find, so what's the problem we're trying to solve? And then let's look at our toolkit. And when we do these measures, when we're increasing, are we seeing a decrease in the right areas? Or are we continuously throwing money and not seeing the outcomes we need to see? So I believe we can get there with a both and approach. I really do.
I usually like to end my show on an up note. I'll throw this out to the room, and whoever wants to respond in less than 2 minutes can do so. What's the good news?
There's lots of good news.
Carol.
There's good news. Yeah, so businesses are starting to look at exporting. If we're contracting here, they're starting to look around. And, you know, that's a welcome sight. Because if we can do that, then it's endless what we can do from a financial perspective. So I welcome those people who are looking outside of the province to increase their business and come in. Two of the things that I'd like to put out there is... your pain point, if it is revenue, get out there and get business and then lead with your competitive edge. And I think you'll do just fine. And I can be reached on LinkedIn.
There you go. And you'll be hosting a number of these sessions coming up now, Grow with Google Series and the Mini Recovery Workshops.
Yes, thankfully.
And St. John's Board of Trade, you're very good at sending out all that information to get the news out there, even when you can't be on the phone every single day calling every member. So we do appreciate the time that you've all spent with us this afternoon, taking time out of your very busy schedules. New Chair Andrew Wadden, welcome to the role. Acting CEO Rhonda Tulk-Lane and business owner operator Carol Bartlett, thank you very much for coming in this afternoon. Really appreciate your time.
Thank you so much.
Thanks, Linda.
On Monday, we'll be back and we're going to talk about genetic research in Newfoundland and Labrador. Very fascinating topic, something that really revs my engine. So stay tuned for that.